Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio land. This is your host and friend, the Sand Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully you'll get something from this show, and if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well. With respect, or I'll push the kick button, and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat-free program. You are listening to Black by Color only. Well, hey, everybody out there and all across this fruited plain. This is your friend, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you all the way from Durham, North Carolina. And if you would like to be a guest to call into the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284, 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter, but I will give you a word of warning. Please pay attention to the aforementioned curse of the fruit bat. If you come in here being a fruit bat, which means you like to engage in character assassinations and ad hominem attacks and insults and trolling and excessive profanity and a new one, gaslighting, it will prompt me to push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. I don't give a rip pair of jeans if you agree with me or not. I just want you to be respectable when you come onto this program. Okay, so there's that. Well, it's been 2 weeks since I've done a show. It feels like it's been 2 months, be honest with you. That just tells you how much I love doing this program. I hope everybody's doing well out there. You know, we're coming up on summer. The weather has gotten a little warmer now. You know, we're starting to sweat a little bit, and, you know, our underarms are starting to kick out a little bit more, if you know what I mean. And just want to give you all a heads up. During the month of July, during the entire month of July, I will be taking a break. So after June the 25th, you will not hear me again until August whatever. I don't have my calendar on me. But after June 25th, you will not hear me until the first weekend in August. We'll say that. Okay. And I'm just going to be taking a break and whatever, nothing, no big deal or anything like that. Just feel like, you know, sometimes you get to the point where you feel like you have to take a break, charge, get your mind ready, you know, things like that. And that's what I'm going to do. So, but I wanted to talk about something today. Of course, if I had done a show last week, we I probably would have talked about this last week, but, you know, we've got another incident that involves a mass shooting to talk about. Of course, we know about the Buffalo shooting. People are still up in arms about the Uvalde, Texas shooting. That was tragic. And, of course, this shooting we've had in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And one of the things that I notice about these shootings is some of the disparities in them. You know, we'll bring up one subject with one shooting, but we fail to bring that up with the others. Okay, let me give you a good example. The shooting in Buffalo a couple of weeks ago, we were crying racism, 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 racism. You know, racism. Oh man, it was racist. Even with the Uvalde shooting, people wanted to make that to be racist because it was in a Hispanic school, and people wanted to say, "Oh, that was racist," you know. But then you find out the gunman, he was Hispanic himself, you know. But one thing I notice is if the shooting involves a white person, we always hear racism, white supremacy, you know, they're still killing us, you know, things like that. But when it comes to black or brown people doing this type of thing, we start talking about gun control and how we need stricter gun laws and, you know, keep the, you know, if we have stricter gun laws, it will keep the guns out of the hands of the criminals, and these tragic shootings will no longer happen. And there's there's something with that. There's something with the reasoning in that. If you make stricter gun laws, it's not going to keep the guns out of the hands of criminals. And we have been saying this for decades, and people still don't get it. Tougher gun laws are not going to lead to less gun shootings. People want to bring up, oh, well, look at what they did in Europe and all these other places. And then I'll tell them, hey, well, look at Switzerland, which probably has more gun ownership than anyone else percentage-wise in the world. You don't hear about gun shootings. You don't hear about mass shootings. I don't know why I keep calling gun shootings. You don't hear about the mass shootings in Switzerland. Okay. And I don't get the reasoning of some people. Hey, Sarge, what's up, man? What's up? I don't get the reasoning of people. Every year, they always talk about we need tougher gun laws. And I'm going to get back to that point. But these spate of shootings that have been going on lately, I tend to be a little suspicious about why they are happening right now. Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist or anything like that, but I am suspicious. It's like for the past several weeks, boom, we got one. Oh, boom, there's another one. Oh, boom, there's another one. And it's like they're happening one after the other. And now the cry is coming out for gun control, which gun control is not going to work. We need, how much tougher do our gun laws need to be? You know, Whoopi Goldberg and her gaggle of cackling hens on The View, they keep saying, oh, we need to get rid of the AR-7, the AR-15s. You don't need a military-style weapon. You know, that weapon's to kill people. Yeah, it's not for hunting or anything like that. Well, any firearm can kill you. That's the point. And keep in mind, that's what repels burglars and rapists and carjackers and thieves and all kinds of other unsavory characters. That's the point. you can get killed by buckshot. Even though most of the time people use buckshot, they use it to go hunting with. You can get killed by that. People can get killed by, I remember a couple of decades ago, I used to watch this show called Rescue 911. And this guy had a BB gun, and he didn't think it was a BB in the gun. And when a BB gun fires, it lets out a puff of air. And he was going around, you know, firing this puff of air at flies around his apartment. And at one point, he was at his screen, and he was firing a puff of air at this fly, but he didn't realize it was still a BB in the gun. The BB fired through the screen window, the screen over the window, and it hit a kid in the heart. And the kid almost died from a BB. But folks, gun control is not the solution. I understand background checks, but I don't understand waiting periods, you know, because you got some places that you have to wait to get your gun for 5 days, which I think is too long. It's just too long to understand background checks. And of course, we have to keep the guns out of the hands of the criminals. Now, to be honest with you, statistics show that in areas that have a lot of people who are highly armed, it tends to be a repellent to burglars or murderers or anything like that, because they're like, you know, because even though the assailant might have a gun, if he knows you have a gun, he doesn't want to engage with you. A lot of times when these assailants have a gun, they're not expecting the person that they want to attack to have one as well. But if they, let's say you got house A and house B. House A, you know, no guns and everything and whatever, you know, they don't like guns or whatever. And you got house B. House B, he's loaded to the teeth. And let's say you're an assailant and you got a gun. Which house are you going to hit first? You're going to hit house A because they ain't got no guns. And see, this is a problem that we run into when we talk about these people who always want to push this gun control mess. All you're doing is making it easier for the criminals to get away with their dirt. See, when they come up on a gun-free zone, they don't sit there and say, oh, man, gun-free zone, man, dog. I wanted to shoot that rascal in his head, but this is a gun-free zone, man, dog. No. Putting up a gun-free zone, you know, the expansion of these gun-free zones is like scaring ants away from a picnic by throwing sugar on the ground. When you go to certain establishments, you go to the front of the store, they say firearms are not allowed. The only people who are not going to bring their firearms into that establishment are law-abiding citizens. People, this is common sense. This is common sense. Bring it, boy, in the house. What's up? When we hear about these tragic stories about gunmen going into theaters and schools and hospitals and shooting up a bunch of people, they do that because they know that there's going to be a minimum of people with a firearm who is going to fire back at them. Stricter gun control laws, getting rid of AR-15s and things like that, is not going to solve the problem. No more than tearing down statues of historical figures is going to get rid of racism. And people, we need to start thinking with what's contained within our heads instead of what's contained within our chests. Stop thinking with your feelings. You need to think with your brain. And Whoopi Goldberg just been going on a run. She just been on a rant lately. Oh, we need to get rid of the AR-15s. Why do we need to get rid of AR-15s? A 45 can kill you just as dead as an AR-15. And see, their problem is, oh, these automatic weapons, these are military-style weapons. No, they're not. The vast majority of guns owned in this country by private citizens, they are semi-automatic. That means when you pull the trigger, one bullet comes out. Boom. Boom. Automatic is when you pull that trigger and it keeps firing until you take your finger off of that trigger. So the problem isn't the gun. The problem is what's in the mind of that finger that's on the trigger. That's your problem. And you, all these, and see, here's the thing too. Sticking with Whoopi. Whoopi, she even said about, she said on The View about 4 or 5 years ago that she's a gun owner. But here you are telling people not to buy AR-15, which AR-15, I don't believe has more killing power. And those of you all who know anything about guns, I don't think an AR-15 has that much more killing power than a 45. Now, you can correct me on that. But just like a lot of the handguns out here on the streets, they are semi-automatic. They only fire when you push the trigger. They fire once. They don't fire multiple times. And it is very hard to get an automatic weapon in this country. Even though we have a black market and whatever, it's very hard to get an automatic weapon. But we say this, and yeah, bring it, boy. You just stole my thunder. That was my next thought right there. There is no such thing as an assault rifle. If that's the case, any weapon can be determined an assault weapon. Gun, knife, fist, knee, heel of your hand, any of those things can be considered an assault weapon. But the thing that gets me is the disparity. See, when that knucklehead, the 18-year-old, a couple of weeks ago, he fired on those people in that grocery store in Buffalo. We were crying, racism, racism, Black Lives Matter, yar, yar. But this dude in Tulsa, Oklahoma, shoots up a hospital, kills 4 people. And see, here's the thing with me, too. Whenever I read a story and they say this man came in and he shot up a bunch of people, and I can determine the race of the assailant based on how long it takes to get his mugshot. Because that kid that shot up the cops up in Buffalo, we knew who he was almost immediately. Boom, there he is, there he is. White boy, he's a white supremacist. Oh, yes, Black Lives Matter. Took us a while to get the mugshot of the dude who shot up that hospital here a few days ago. And I'm sitting there like, why haven't they shown his mugshot? They said he was dead. He took the gun out on himself. I'm sitting there like, how come we don't see this dude's mugshot? And then when we finally got the mugshot, I'm sitting there like, oh, okay. I shouldn't be surprised at that. He was a black guy. And not only that, his target was a black doctor. Oh, but we're not sitting here saying, you know what, black folks, we need to stop killing each other. We need to stop doing this. Nah, they want to go back and say, oh, we need tougher gun laws. Now, can someone tell me how much tougher our gun laws need to be? Someone please enlighten me on that. And I'm listening to Whoopi Goldberg. Me and my wife, we were listening to Whoopi Goldberg the other day. And she said one of the stupidest things I think I heard anyone say. She said, well, AR-15 is not in the Constitution. Really? I didn't see Colt 45 in the Constitution either. Magnum 357, 380. The Constitution didn't say, okay, there are certain arms we're going to allow you to have, so this is a list of the arms here. No, the Constitution says you have a right to bear arms. It doesn't specify what those arms are. I said, this woman is brain dead. And we sit here, we listen to these harpies going on, and we sit there, we need to get rid of the AR-15s. You're not going to get rid of the AR-15s. You know why? You can make an AR-15. You can employ someone to make you a homemade AR-15. You know how I know? I got a DVD about that. And it's not illegal. You can make your own AR-15. But they always come out, oh, we got to do something about the guns. We got to do something about the guns. Stop gun violence. Stop gun violence. How about stop all violence? But see, and I'm pretty sure Mr. Pianchi is going to come on here, and he's going to give me statistics about how many people got shot and killed in Chicago within certain several months. We don't concentrate on that. Lori Lightfoot and all them up there, you know, talking about we got to get rid of gun violence. But you know why crimes are so prevalent in their states, in their cities? Because they're too woke. Let's stop white supremacy. Let's stop violence against the LGBTQ community. We got a female mayor here in Durham. Forgot her name. Female police chief as well. My city of Durham, North Carolina, we're in the middle of we got a little uptick in our shooting crimes. 18 people have been murdered in Durham. That's almost one person every week. Here in Durham, North Carolina. And matter of fact, I didn't know this until, you know, I saw certain statistics. Durham is the only major city in North Carolina in the top 10 worst cities for crime. Most of the places that have a lot of crime, they're little towns and everything, like Whiteville and Laurinburg and Fayetteville, places like that. Well, Fayetteville is not really a town, but it's not as big as Durham. But I'm expecting to hear cities like Charlotte or Winston-Salem or Greensboro or High Point. Heck, even Raleigh. And Raleigh's in stepping distance of Durham. Raleigh's doesn't even have as high a crime rate, especially when it comes to gun crimes, as Durham has. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And I live right smack in Durham. Now, I'm not afraid of my life for my life or anything like that. Most of the crime in this city is in the eastern part of the city, eastern Durham. I live in southern Durham. We don't have as much crime or anything going on, but where I live, the crime rate can be higher than the rest of Southern Durham. I do live in Southern Durham, but I live not too far from a project area. And every now and then you hear the gunshots and everything. And I'm not as concerned with my life here in Southern Durham as I would be in Eastern Durham. Eastern Durham is a shooting gallery. And some of you all might be like, Durham, North Carolina? That hick state? Yeah. And Durham is on pace to break the record. I think the record for murders in Durham is 42, if I'm correct. I need to check the statistic. But Durham is on pace to break that record if it keeps up. But my point is that a lot of our politicians and our higher-ups, the elites and everything, they want to concentrate on racism. And not just racism. They just want to concentrate on white-on-black racism. Because racism covers a whole spectrum. Racism is universal. Racism doesn't know any color. You can be a white person, be a racist. You can be a black person. Yes, you can be a black person and be a racist. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Yes, black people, you can be racist. But see, you want to push that victimhood mentality because you think that absolves you of any responsibility of racism. Now, When we start talking about racism, stats and racism and all that, black people need to understand that you contribute to the acts of racism in this country, even though they might not report it on the news. But you're just as racist, and I'm going to be straight up and tell you, I believe that black people in this country are more racist than anyone else in this country. The number one racist demographic in this country are black folks. And folks, I'm not saying all black folks are like that and everything, but I'm telling you, the higher percentage of black folks are way more racist than any white folks are in this country, to be honest with you. I know a lot of you're members of the Apostles of Blackness. You don't like to hear that because that rubs you wrong. Oh, no, you can't say that. We're the victims. We can't be racist. We don't have the power. Really? Had a so-called black president serve two terms, have black mayors. Black governors, black heads of corporations, and you're going to sit there and say, we can't be racist because we don't have the power? That's one of the stupidest things I ever heard, too. See, the reason why they don't want to admit that they can be racist, too, because racism carries a negativity with it. It carries a negative stigma with it. And they don't want to be smeared with that negative stigma. But we can only be biased and prejudiced. That's what racism is, you dumb bunny. That's what racism is. It's bias and prejudice. No, only white people can be racist. And I was reading this. I got an audio book. I would recommend that you get audiobooks.com. A lot of good books on there and everything. And me, I'm the type of person, I want to read both sides of the story. I got the book called White Fragility by, I forgot her name. But she's a guilty Robin something. She's a guilty white person, and she wants to, you know, basically she wrote this book to show black people, hey, I might be white, but I'm with you guys. I'm with your cause. You know, And I just finished listening to an audiobook called The Myth of White Fragility. And it won't take you but a little more than 2 hours to listen to this book. And this dude brought up some pretty good points. And he was basically talking to his fellow white people. Y'all need to stop this white fragility, you know, because this is the definition of white fragility. If a black person calls you a racist simply because you're white and you say, no, I'm not a racist. Where are you coming from? I'm not a racist. That's a sign of white fragility. That means you're a racist. If someone accuses you of being a racist and you deny being a racist, to them, that's a sign that you are actually a racist. But I would recommend you read that book, The Myth of White Fragility. I got the book that is criticizing called White Fragility, and I'm gonna try to expound on that on this program as well. Because I like to read both sides. I know some people are like, why are you reading that book? I understand it. But see, my mentality is to the point. You can't convince me of my point. You can't convince me opposite of my point of view right now because my mind is too strong. You know, you ain't no Jedi mind tricks here. You are a racist. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Your Jedi mind tricks don't work here. Yeah, Robin DiAngelo. And see, here's the thing. Here's the thing about people like Miss DiAngelo. She thinks that she's gaining Browning points with black people when she does this. But let them catch her out there on the street by herself. And it's going to be a different story. Hey, is that white lady in my neighborhood? Come on, let's get her, y'all. Oh, what are y'all doing? You know, I'm Robin DiAngelo. I wrote the book about white fragility. I'm with you, black folks. Oh, you are? Okay, well, give us your wallet. Is that an expensive ring on there? Yeah, okay. You sold a lot of books, you know. Give us your jewelry. Give us your wallet. Give us your wig, because we know that's worth some money, too. Oh, them shoes, them stiletto heels you got on? Yeah, that's probably worth some money, too. Miss DiAngelo will probably be fortunate if she makes it home that night in her lingerie. And I don't mean that to be crass or anything. But they catch her out. You can sit there and you can sing the praises of the black race all you want to. But let them catch you out there on the street. Because a lot of these black folks, they still see you as another white person. You can sit there and say, oh, I'm not like those white people. I'm not like them. I love you, black people. But they're still going to see you as another. And you know what that entails? Oh, you're white. So that means you got privilege. You're white. So that means you're automatically a racist. We don't care what your political leanings are or anything like that. Yeah, we might vote for you and everything, but you get into our clutches, it's going to be a different story. But like I said, I have her book. I do have her book, and some people might be like, oh, no, you shouldn't be reading her book. But I want to see both sides of the story. And I'll probably critique it on this program. Because, you know, basically the book by the book that Miss Robin DiAngelo has written shows you what goes on in the mind of a guilty white person. They've been beat down with the term of racism for so long. Now they're starting to say, oh, no, we're not racist. We're with you. We love you, black people. Yes, we love you. Hey, I got black friends. I got black people in my family. So I love you, black people, golly gee willikers. But like I said, to the apostles of blackness, you're just another white person. You think a lot of these black people really love Hillary Clinton? I mean, do you really actually think black people love Hillary Clinton or Nancy Pelosi? These people sing the praises of the black race all the time, but they don't live among them. And shoot, these rich black people, these rich black Democrats, they don't hang around. They don't hang among the rough sides of the neighborhood either. But they're always talking about, oh, we need to find a way to get them out of poverty. We got to find a way to get them out of the projects. We gotta better our education and whatever. But you don't want to live among them. And really, you don't have to live among them. Just visit their neighborhoods. You don't even do so much as that. Because I live in a not so bad neighborhood here in Durham, North Carolina. Every now and then, you know, you get your little riffraff around here. But if I had the resources, I wouldn't be living in this part of Durham. It doesn't mean that I wouldn't want to visit here to help someone get on their feet or anything like that. Let's see. Sorry to say, I cannot say for sure that black people are more racist than whites. But this I am sure of. Black people are far more willing to openly express racist notions and rationalize this by pointing to the history of oppression, Jim Crow, and discrimination. Many of these people are utterly lacking. Many of these people are utterly lacking is either self-awareness or objective reality. You got a point there, though, Sarge. I stand corrected. Black people more openly do it, you know. White folks, they you know, they'll kind of keep it in. But really, to be honest with you, I don't think this country is as racist as it used to be. I don't think the white race is as racist as they used to be. Because you got some people saying, oh, today we're no better off than we were in the 50s. Yes, we are. Show me the black and white water fountain. Show me the black and white bathrooms. Give me an example of someone who got kicked out of a hotel because he was black. Boy, me and my wife and I, we love to travel. And one of the cities we've had the pleasure of traveling to was Wilmington, North Carolina. And Wilmington had one of the largest race riots in this nation's history back in, oh gosh, I need to get right with my dates. But it had one of the largest race riots in this country's history. And I love going to Wilmington. Guess what? I've never had a problem getting a hotel or anything in Wilmington. Never had a problem at all. Never had a problem with a white person in Wilmington. You know why? Because that mess is in the past. See, we need to stop getting into our time traveling DeLoreans and going back into the past and bringing that mess up to today, because it's not going on today. You know, someone said something kind of interesting. I just learned this morning. You know, the shooting at the Tulsa, Oklahoma hospital, you know, it occurred on the 101st date of the so-called Black Wall Street massacre. And you know, when people heard this fact, they were like, they just jumped to conclusions saying, oh, this, you know, this is white supremacy, you know, this is white supremacy, until they found out the identity of the shooter. They got quiet. This is why you need to look into a matter first before you jump to conclusions. Let's see. No, Bringing Boy. No, Maxine is not white. I need to send you a picture of Maxine Waters. No, Maxine Waters is not white. Yeah, and she does. Yes, she does talk like she is, though. And when I say that, I'm not saying that to be negative against white people. I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to say that. But yeah, getting back to the shooting, they said that it occurred on the 101st anniversary of the Black Wall Street massacre. And someone even said, you know, this has to be an act of white supremacy. And folks, let me just say this. We need to drop the whole White Supremacy Act. We need to drop this white supremacy. Everybody thinks, oh, the U.S., it was founded out of white supremacy. Give me the facts that this country was founded on white supremacy. Look, let me tell you all something. We live in the best country in the world, in the history of the world. But just like all other countries, this country has its flaws. Yes, slavery is a black mark on the history of the United States of America. I do not deny that. Jim Crow, that is, you know, the certain slaughters that went on in this country. Yes, they are black marks on the history of this country. But guess what? There is nothing we can do away with that history. Like I've said several times on this show, history is the stain you cannot wash out of the fabric of time. Okay, now, these things went on in the U.S., but see, they are examples for us to follow and say, hey, we don't want to do that again. That's why I'm not against, that's why I'm against people tearing down statues and all that crazy mess. You think tearing down a statue is going to help race relations in this country? Oh, we took down a Robert E. Lee statue. Yes. Oh, man, white people are going to love us now. Now, you're still going to have those same grievances. You can tear down all the statues you want to. And, yeah, Sarge, the Tulsa massacre began as an episode of mutual combat. After the opening volleys, it then devolved into a massacre. Really? The Tulsa massacre wasn't about a bunch of white folks seeing a bunch of successful black people, and they said, "Let's go in here and let's just murder black people." I believe it was on an elevator, if I'm correct. Man, I need to get up to speed on this, but it had nothing to do with white folks saying, these N-words, they got banks, they got theaters, they got all this, they're getting successful. Let's come in there and just disrupt the whole thing. And people, keep in mind, after the Tulsa massacre, the so-called Tulsa massacre, Black Wall Street was built back up, and it continued to thrive into the 1960s. Just thought I'd throw that little bit of trivia out there at you. We always want to talk about Black Wall Street. Black Wall Street. You know, here in Durham, we had a Black Wall Street. Here in Durham, North Carolina. If you ever look on a map of Durham, North Carolina, there's a highway called Highway 147. It runs right through what used to be an area called Hayti. And they called it Black Wall Street because black folks had their own theaters, they had their own clubs, they had their own banks, all types of stuff. And then when integration came in, it did away with all of that. But people always want to bring up Black Wall Street. They always want to bring up Rosewood. You know, that was back then. We can't undo the past. We cannot undo the past, but we have our minds so stuck in the past, We project the past into the present and think this is still going on today. It's not going on today. And people, don't get me wrong. Once again, I am not saying there aren't racist white people out there. But we need to understand, if there are racist white people out there, there are racist black people out there too. There are racist Hispanics. There are racist Asians. We're not going to get rid of racism. It's not going to go away. That's one thing I've come to understand. If I go into a restaurant, and I've never had this happen ever, if I go into a restaurant and the owner sees me and says, "Hey, boy, we don't serve your kind up in here," I'd be like, "You don't? Okay. I'll just go to a place where they do serve my kind." But you know what I'll do? I'll tell my friends, I say, "You go anywhere you want to go, you know, and I'm not going to be mad at you if you go there, but just want to let you know that restaurant over there, that guy doesn't like black people. Just letting you know." I'm not going to the government. Because you know why I don't want to go to the government? All you're going to do is strengthen the government. You're making the government bigger. I have no problem with black people having their part of the town, or white people having their part of the town. The part I don't like is the government coming in and saying, because you are a certain skin color, you can't mix or interact with somebody of another skin color. Segregation. I really don't. I really have no problem with black churches, white churches, or anything. I prefer a mixed church. I'd rather be in a church that's mixed, which is kind of church that I go to now. But I really don't have a problem with black people or white people, because by nature, you're going to flock towards a person who shares the same outward characteristics that you do. I have no problem with that. But if a white person comes to a black church and you don't make that person feel welcome, that's the problem I have. Yeah, we might be a black church, but white people, you're just as welcome here as any black person is, and vice versa. But I can guarantee you, all my years of church going and whatever, I can guarantee you a black person will probably be more welcome in a white church than a white person would be in a black church. I can almost guarantee you that. And this comes from my personal observations. And see, I don't have a problem with, you know, I have no problem with skin color or white folks or anything. Just as long as you treat me with respect, I ain't got no problem with it. You might be even a closeted racist. But as long as you treat me with respect, I ain't got no problem with you. I tell you, you know, you shouldn't be racist or anything like that. But I really have no problem with it. My life's too short to be worried about who's racist and who ain't. Excuse me. Doggone it, I'm more than 53 and a half years old. I ain't got no time to be worried about who's racist and who ain't. Look, you want to be racist, then that's on you. That's your problem, not mine. And no, I'm not trying to be a coon and trying to be white and all that, all them other cute little terms people like to bandy around and everything. Oh, you just trying to be white. No, I don't know how to be white. For me to be white, I probably had to bleach my skin. That sounds kind of painful. I like my skin color. But I have no problem with interacting with white folks. And I remember when I first came here to Durham back in 1986, and one of my history teachers, he said that North Carolina is probably the most racist state in the South. I haven't seen it. I have not seen it. Now, everybody has their flaws and everything. Everybody does. Black, white, whatever. But these are some of the nicest white folks I have ever met in my life down here in North Carolina. So don't even come to me with that mess. Oh, he got a Confederate flag. So, colored piece of cloth to me. Now, if he come out threatening me or something like that, now we got problems. But if you want to be a racist and, you just keep that to yourself or whatever, I have no problem with you. I might even know you're racist. Oh, I know you're racist, but you still treat me with respect. Come on, let's have a cookout. I really have no problem with it. But come threatening my family or whatever, putting hands on me or something like that, oh, now we got a problem. Because you're dealing with a man who is 6 foot, 2.5, and almost 300 pounds. I'm a big fella. I might not be good at fighting, but I don't believe in a fair fight. I don't believe in a fair fight. But I have no problem. I really I have no problem interacting with white folks or whatever, but the thing that really gets my goat is people who think that because I look like them, I'm supposed to think like they do. I'm not going to think like you do. I'm an individual. And even if, circle the wagons along with you and everything, I'm still an individual who has a vastly different mentality than you do. And I can tell you right now, I'm one of them weird type people. I'm vastly out there. I march to the beat of my own drummer. People tell me, oh, it's a shame that you're so tall and you can't play basketball. Okay, well, yeah, I suck at basketball. I suck at sports. For most sports, I suck at. I'm not good at sports. I like to read. I'm a bookworm. I like to read. I like to glean information. I like to glean information from current events, from documentaries, from the books I read. Every now and then I'll read a fictional book or a novel, but I'm mostly into documentaries and things like that. I'm always gleaning information. Now, I might not be the most eloquent person out there or whatever, but I love to glean information and I love to give it out. That's one of the reasons why I do this radio program. And the reason why I interact with people a lot is I really want to get a feel of where I am. Not who I am, but where I am. In other words, what I'm trying to say is if I say something that is out of the way, I'm looking forward to the correction that someone would give me about some of my ideas or how I think. That's how you interact with people. You don't just go out there and just shoot off at the lip and you try to impress people with your knowledge or anything like that. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm impressed with a lot of people's knowledge, but it's not about that with me. When I interact with you, I'm telling you, this is what I know. And if what I know is something that is wrong, then I look forward to you correcting me on it. That's how you interact. That's how you have a decent conversation, not just cutting off and everything that a lot of people, especially our friends on the left, like to do. See, I tell people, I have no pride for you to hurt here. If you come out and you say, Vincent, what you thinking, it sucks. Let me tell you. Let me show you why. And you do it in a reasonable fashion, a respectable fashion, and whatever. I'm like, oh, okay, I appreciate that. Now, we're going to have something to say about you saying that my point of view sucks, but no. But I am open to correction. Some people are not. And I noticed that a lot of on people on the left. They don't like to be corrected. They think they know everything. They think because someone fed some information into them and that they're expounding on it and someone criticizes them, they think the person who is criticizing them is actually insulting them because they think they know everything. when you talk to me, I'm not a know-it-all. You're not talking to a know-it-all. I might be a smart person. I might be able to win a Trivial Pursuit game, or I might be able to win Jeopardy or something like that, but I am not the type of person that thinks he knows it all. And I never want to be that type of person. I always want to learn something new. Always. That's another thing that ticks me off about my fellow black people. They think they know everything. And I know good and well a lot of them don't read. They don't study. It rubs them the wrong way when they got to read a book. They don't go to their libraries. They don't research anything. They just lazily let someone feed information into their brain. And they think that the information that someone is feeding into their brain has already been filtered. They think it's already been filtered. And then when they go out, they talk like they know something, and they don't know anything. Some of these people can't even halfway read, but they think they know everything. Now, I'm not saying if you don't know how to read that you don't have a purpose in this world. I'm not saying that. And, you know, like I said before, I'm not trying to say people need to be a bookworm like I am. Because I can guarantee you there are bigger bookworms than I am in this world, too. You need to understand what is being fed to you. That's why I tell people you need to be careful when you watch the evening news. You need to be careful about it. Because these guys, what they are reporting to you is what they want to report to you. Not what you need to hear, but they're trying to get you to believe a certain way. Oh, yeah, Sarge, I agree with you totally. He said those people are not only insecure, they also tend to be rigid and authoritarian. Oh, gosh, man, that ain't that the truth. The idiot in the White House is a perfect example, yeah. Rather, the idiots in the White House. I got you there. But like I've said before, don't just believe anything I say because I say it on this radio program and I sound so sure of myself and everything. Sometimes you can be sure and you can be sure about yourself, but then someone tells you about yourself and you find out, yeah, I was sure about myself. I was a sure idiot. And I'm not saying I'm an idiot or anything like that. I'm just saying that if somebody hears me say something that is off kilter, I welcome the correction. I'm not going to sit here and fuss. Now, if it's the truth, if I already know it's the truth, then there might be some contention there. But if you can show me factually and whatever that what I'm saying is wrong, I have no problem with it. No problem with it at all. So, but anyway, we've come to the end of the first hour. My goodness, the time is flying. And let me do my little advertisements. And when I come on the other side, we will continue on with the show. You are listening to Black by Color Only on CNM Radio.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend. You were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human. And she's got this little toy she's always playing with, all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
All right. Welcome to the top of the hour. If you would like to be a guest to call into the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you know what? Here lately, I've been wanting to take a trip to the pet shop so I can buy me a couple of fruit bats. That is my fruit bat signal. That lets you know I'm about to go to the phones. Now, if you're on the phone and you don't want to bring anything valuable to the conversation, you want to involve yourself in straw man arguments and character assassination, ad hominem attacks, excessive profanity, and gaslighting, I'm going to let you know now you better hang up, because if you don't, I'll be happy to oblige you. But having said all that, let me go to the phones. Hello, welcome to the show.
Brother Vince, man, I was worried. Man, you want to know why I was worried? I'm going to tell you why I was worried. Because, you know, a fruit bat has a wingspan is almost 6 feet long.
Those
I thought maybe four or five of them had gotten together. And even if that many fruit bats could even haul your big ass away. And I was worried that they got to you.
Oh, yeah. Well, shoot.
So, you know, it's good to see that you're all right. They didn't get you. But look, man, I'm checking my copy of the Constitution, right? And I'm reading the Second Amendment. And it says in the Second Amendment, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So since it says that, Whoopi Goldberg ain't got no business keeping or bearing arms because she ain't a people. She a fruit bat. Whoopi, give up your gat.
I know that's right, but you know what? I thought the fruit bats had gotten you. I ain't heard from you in about a couple of months.
Man. I was preparing defenses against the fruit bats. That's why you didn't heard me. I was really busy. I'm putting up my fruit bat fortifications.
I got you.
Hey man, but look here, man. It's like this, man. Look, if you're going to have a discussion about gun control, given the fact that, you know, Supreme Court in decisions over and over again, ever since, like, Presser versus Illinois, 1871, Heller versus McDonald, the Heller decision and the McDonald decision, the right to keep and bear arms is recognized now as a right that is subject to strict scrutiny. The strict scrutiny test, just like any other right in the Constitution. So if you're going to have a discussion about it, dare I say it, about infringing upon the right that is not supposed to be infringed, remember, Joe Biden says no amendment is absolute. That may be true, that may not be true. But if any amendment in the Constitution is absolute, it's the second. Why is that? Because the First Amendment merely says Congress shall make no law infringing the right of free association or the right of speech. The Fourth Amendment doesn't forbid all searches. It forbids unreasonable ones. The Fifth Amendment says you shall not be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. So it can be if you get due process of law. But the Second Amendment shall not be infringed. That is the single most prohibitory upon government of any in the Constitution. So if any amendment is absolute, it must be the Second Amendment. Now,
yeah,
if you will allow me to indulge myself a bit, and maybe to help the audience out here, I'd like to go point by point on all the lies that Joe Biden tells, because they're unbelievable. That a president of the United States would get in front of the country and just manifestly lie about matters of fact. It is staggering. And he's not even called to account for it by the mainstream press. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Hey, indulge yourself.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Now, first of all, he says that the assault weapon ban, well, not let's go on to cannons, because that's one of his most famous ones. He says that at the time the Second Amendment was written, you couldn't have cannons. Well, first of all, let's go back to the Revolutionary War. When Henry Knox formed the artillery branch of the Continental Army, much of the artillery and cannons he had were privately owned cannons by militia members that were in the Continental Army or in militia units that had been assigned to the Continental Army or to General Washington generally. They were privately owned. I know the United States had just been formed by the Declaration of Independence, but he was getting private cannons from private owners. Now, even after the Constitution was written, there was no alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. There wasn't even a federal gun control law until the Federal National Firearms Act of 1934. The first gun restrictions practically in any states of the Union came in the Southern Democrat Confederate states when they wanted to keep newly freed slaves from possessing arms.
Yep.
Now, there were almost no state in the Union. Were there any gun control laws, except maybe in some of the territories, where they said you had to give up your gun when you went in the saloon? That was about it. There were no gun control laws anywhere.
Yeah.
That's to say nothing of cannon. I mean, Jean Lafitte was a pirate, famously. I mean, many people, he's probably the most famous privateer in the United States history. He was key to Andrew Jackson winning the Battle of New Orleans. He was a privateer. Congress issued to him letter of marque and reprisal, as they have the authority to do in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. Congress shall have the power to grant letters of marque and reprisal. And when you grant letters of marque and reprisal to a privateer, that means a nation is granting you, under its sovereign authority, the right to conduct warfare against enemy shipping on the high seas. And they did it to people who had the means to do so because they already possessed their privately owned cannons. So when Joe Biden, historical, constitutional illiterate, and demagogue plus, says things like this, he is either outright lying or he's senile, he's uneducated, he's badly educated. And remember, he finished last in his law school class anyway, or near the last. He was down at the bottom. He's a big dummy. He's a demagogue. He's a fool. He's senile. And the radical left runs him. So he says things like this that have no basis in history or fact or law in the Constitution. Yes, you could own a cannon with your own. Only thing limiting you is how many you could have, is how much money you had to pay for a cannon.
Yeah.
And then we go on. When he says that the assault weapons ban worked to reduce gun violence. Well, the Congressional Research Service, the General Accounting Office, and the Department of Justice all did studies on the effects of the assault weapons ban or the efficacy of the assault weapons ban after it expired. Every one of them said it had no appreciable effects on crime. All you got to do is just public information. It's not a secret. You can go look at the updated assessment of the federal assault weapons ban impacts on gun markets and gun violence done by the Department of Justice, 1994-2003, report to the National Institutes of Justice, United States Department of Justice, by Christopher S. Coper, principal investigator, with Daniel J. Woods and Jeffrey A. Roth, June 2004. All of them said the same thing, once commissioned by the federal government. So he lies there, too. He just lies, and nobody calls him, or at least the mainstream press won't call him when he lies. Now, when you said earlier that you kind of hinted at a conspiracy involving all this recent spate of mass shootings, well, I'm not going to exclude that, but I'm going to give you, I think, in my opinion, a more likely proximate cause for it, and that is that we, not only in the United States, but in the entire world, have been subjected to the greatest psychological and psychiatric social atrocity in the history of mankind. That is the COVID-19 lockdown. You've got study after study after study after study. And I can give you the sites. I can give you where they are, but there's so many, I'm not even going to bother right now unless you specifically want it. I mean, many of them are government studies to show that the impact upon the psychological health of people was enormous, very significant. At the very, even the most limited say that, even the mildest of the reports say it was significant.
Yeah.
And in view of that fact, now most people are not going to be affected to the point. The overwhelming majority, like 99.95% of people, or maybe 99.50% of people, are not going to be influenced to go out and do any mass murder. But those who are marginalized and on the margins,
yes,
which is a very small percentage of people, yes, they are the type sitting in front of computer screens, and yes, unfortunately, with access to firearms, are the ones who are going to do it. I would submit to you that is a far more likely cause of what we're seeing right now because of this lunatic shutdown, lockdown of healthy parts of the population, not allowing them to go to work, constantly haggling and hectoring them and raising their fear level unduly, making them feel this was a threat to them that was all out of proportion to what it actually is. I would submit to you that induced far more stress in most people than in any of this other stuff. And, you know, when I hear this, when I hear the Democrats with their insane desire to butcher babies in the womb, at the rate of 660,000 or so a year, 39 to 40% of which are black babies, every bloody year, some of them, political figures like that hideous Letitia James in New York, getting in front of a public crowd and not expressing her regret at having to abort the child in her womb, but proclaiming her pride in having done so. Yep. When I hear a party like this willing to countenance the butchery of hundreds of thousands of babies and quite properly, pulling out all the stops to include violating the Constitution, which is not proper, to mourn the deaths of a few dozen children, which, again, is hideous, and I'm not trying to minimize it.
That's right.
I find it difficult to stomach their sanctimony. I can't put up with it. I can't deal with it.
I
cannot
agree.
Reconcile this public hair shirt wearing with the reality of what they advocate for the most innocent children amongst us, children yet born, and even children born within a few minutes of leaving the birth canal. Some of them prefer that too.
Yep.
I don't want to hear from these people.
Same here.
And one last thing, when you were talking about the terminal ballistic effects of cartridges, or bullets rather, fired from cartridges, you know, you were comparing the .45 ACP with the 5.56 NATO. Well, there's a number of variables that causes effects on the killing and or stopping power of a bullet. Let me even contrast the two. The 45 ACP round fired out of the GI 45 automatic and its basic GI loading, you got a big, heavy pumpkin of a bullet weighing 230 grains. Comes out of the muzzle 870 feet per second with a muzzle energy of about 360 foot-pounds, somewhere like that. Then you got the 5.56 NATO that fires a relatively diminutive 55-grain bullet, only 15 grains bigger than a 22 long rifle bullet, but it's coming out of there at a honking 3,250 feet per second, and it's putting out about 1,300 foot-pounds of energy, or four times as much. So clearly, even though the M16 bullet is a lot smaller, it's a lot more power and energy coming out of the muzzle. Now, what that means is that the .45 doesn't penetrate as much, and at close range, when you hit somebody, it dumps all of its energy into the target, and all of that energy is transferred to the target, and bigger diameter of the bullet means it's more likely to hit something going all the way through. All of the shock effect gets dumped in there, and that accounts for what they call the stopping power of the .45. Now, on the other hand, the little light bullet fired by the 55-grain NATO round in its original GI loading in the rifle was lightly stable. It barely stable when it comes out the muzzle. So That bullet is very susceptible to yaw and tumbling if anything disturbs it along its flight path, like even a brisk wind or a twig. It hits a twig coming down there. Then it starts to yaw and tumble. Or if it strikes in the body and it hits, say, bone, it hits maybe at a deflecting thing. I've seen people hit in the shoulder, the entry wound of a 5.56 NATO round hit in the shoulder, and the bullet wound up coming out of their anus. I'm not kidding. Literally, I saw a wound where the exit wound was out the anus, and it was horrific. It just tore through the internal organs all the way down, tumbling all the way down and out the other side. And then on the other hand, if it doesn't hit anything substantial, like it goes through pure flesh, doesn't hit a ligament, doesn't hit anything but maybe flesh going through, it'll leave a knitting needle type wound without much effect. It's subject to a number of variables as to whether or not how much effect you're going to have on the target. But there's no doubt that the 5.56 NATO has way more power than a 45 caliber ACP cartridge.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, it depends. But like I said, the people who are doing all this talking about this and all these legislators, they know nothing about firearms ammunition, terminal ballistic effects, velocities, what there is. And the 5.56 isn't even considered a high-powered rifle round. It's an intermediate class by definition.
Yeah, exactly.
Every assault rifle uses an intermediate rifle cartridge, every one of them. That's the whole point, because you want to have a gun that is stable in full automatic fire. You use a full-power battle cartridge, it's almost impossible to keep it on target after the first or second round unless you're very well trained with it. Unless you got a lot of weight on it, like you have in, a general-purpose machine gun, which weighs somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 to 25 pounds. Where you do it in a light shoulder rifle, it's uncontrollable. It's just too much recoil for the lightweight.
Exactly.
And so that's why they came up with the intermediate rifle cartridge and the AK-47 and the AR-15. When they talk about high power, they don't know what they're talking about. It's not a high-powered rifle round. It's in the middle. It's in the middle between a pistol cartridge and a high-powered hunting rifle cartridge. It's right in the middle.
Wow. Man, I thank you for that little bit of information. You just, man, I'm telling you, you said a mouthful right there.
Well, you got to understand, Vince, look, you and all the taxpayers out there probably paid hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars in the course of my career as a soldier and a police officer to train me. I feel it is in your interest for me to impart my knowledge, factual knowledge, to people so you can avoid these lying demagogues who want to take away your constitutional rights.
That's right.
You can avoid them. They lie to you. They distort. They mislead. They will do every bit of dishonesty. I say you cannot have an honest discussion about gun control with people who lie as much as these people do about firearms, the Second Amendment, the history of it all, and everything else. They lie, they lie, they lie. This is the issue that turned me from being a gun-grabbing liberal Democrat into a conservative. This is the one issue. When I became a police officer and I found out everything they were telling me about criminal usage of firearms was a lie. Everything I had believed prior to being a police officer was untrue.
Wow.
And it led me into research of other areas where these leftists had been lying to me about the country's history, about racism, Jim Crow, who was doing it, everything else. The reason I'm a conservative today is because of their lies to me about gun control. That was the floodgate that opened up my eyes to every other lie they'd been telling me.
And see, it's amazing that, you know, and when I see people like I watch this guy named ABL Anthony Brian Logan on YouTube and talk about Candace Owens and people like that, it's always one little issue that opens their eyes to the whole thing, and I'm like, wow, you know, it just takes one little issue that they realize they've been lied on about, and then it just opens their eyes to everything else that they've been lied about. You know, and it amazes me how that works like that, you know. But let me get this other caller on here. I think this is my buddy Pianchi. Hello, welcome to the show. Uh-oh. Hello, caller. Caller, welcome to the show. think this is Bianchi. I hear something going on back there.
I thought I heard somebody say Bianchi or something. I don't know. I heard that. I didn't hear anything after that.
Oh, okay. Oh, I don't know. I hear something going on back there. Let me, Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. You're live on Black by Color Only with Sarge and Vince. Okay, let me just...
Okay. Well, I guess until we get your other caller on the line, man, I'm just saying that, you know, like these folks who have been making... all these pronouncements, these public pronouncements, I have yet to hear anything they are saying. The Democrats are looking at one variable in this violence equation, and the only variable they are looking at is guns, for all practical purposes. They are not speaking about anything. When, you know, whenever you're looking at a problem as complex as what's going on today, and particularly with regard to what has happened with regard to law enforcement, the diminution of the significance of law enforcement, the denigration of police, the defunding of police, the in certain jurisdictions, the fact that prosecutors are literally not prosecuting crimes they decide shouldn't be prosecuted. And you're going to say to us that the biggest thing to look at is guns when there's 400 million, at a conservative estimate, privately owned firearms in private hands, and you're saying, and even if you want to limit it to what they call an assault weapon, which is a nonsensical term, even if you want to look at those weapons that are assault weapons, just the AR-15 and its variants alone, you're talking about anywhere between at a low estimate of 25 million to a high estimate of 50 million, just that one type of rifle. You're talking about 50 million. And if you got rid of all of them, there are other semi-automatic military pattern, semi-automatic rifles that can do exactly the same thing, that fire exactly the same cartridge.
Yeah.
And there are millions of them in private hands. These people are silly. You know what? If they were to go fishing, they would think the way you catch fish, you want to catch tuna, you drain the Atlantic or Pacific Ocean. That's how stupid they are. I mean, these people are profoundly stupid. They tell us there's too many illegal immigrants for us to round up. I'm up with 20 or 20, 30 million people. There's just too many. We can't do anything about it. And they got to get up and go to the shopping, the grocery store every day. They got to go to work. They send their kids to school, but we can't find them. But somehow we're going to find 50 million AR-15s.
Yeah. Yeah. See,
think about it for a minute.
Yeah.
And people pause it. And most of them, and even though most of them would probably surrender them, I guarantee you, there's a 10% hardcore that will say, you better come and get them one cartridge at a time.
I know that's right. I know that's right. Let me get
crazy.
This talk.
There's something wrong with them, man. Their mental processes are simply defective, or they're just outright tyrants, and they just want to disarm the American people.
Yeah. Let me see if I can get this caller on now. Let's see. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, this is Fruit Bat number one. I was circling the runway trying to land. Hang
what's
on
up,
for
buddy?
A second. Let me get this dust off.
Okay, what's up?
Get that dust off my wings. Hey, Sarge, what's going on?
It's all good, man. Hail, hail, the gang's all here.
Hey, you know, I don't get into more arguments about... what a bullet do and all that. I say the thing that you all ought to be concerned with is just the Second Amendment of the Constitution. Stop trying to circumvent it. And this Sheila Jackson Lee.
Oh, gosh.
Have you seen this picture of her lately? Her nose looked like the barrels of a double-barrel shotgun. My goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Tell me, like, is it growing with every lie she tells?
It looks like the barrel of a double barrel shotgun, 12 gauge at that.
Oh,
boy, this woman's got some nose on her.
Well, it can't get any bigger because she wouldn't be able to walk. All them lies she be telling.
Absolutely, she blowing smoke. But you know, And you know, blacks are more racist than whites. Have been for a long time. We've been following that narrative, which is propagated by the news and their bias self.
Yeah.
But blacks are more racist than whites are. When you lay it out on the table, 30% of white women that's raped or more say that their attacker was black. And then it just goes on and on and on and on and on. And you can't say they're racist. You mean to tell me since Memorial Day last year, 2021, until just this past Memorial Day, the 4,628 blacks that were shot by other blacks for 636 murders, you mean to tell me that none of them blacks, when they were pulling the trigger and aiming, wasn't hollering out, "Yeah, come on, nigga, come on"? So wouldn't that not make them a racist?
Mm-mm.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they racist. And you know, here's the thing. States should just say, hell no, we ain't going to do it. All these anti-Second Amendment laws that this congressional and also some others in the past have tried to pass in order to restrict your ownership and access legally to weapons, the states need to tell them to hell, go to hell. And let the states handle that. They'll do a damn good job. It's closer to the people.
Here's my thing on, and you all please correct me if I'm wrong. The Second Amendment is a federal law. Am I correct? It's a federal
Second
law.
Amendment.
Second Amendment is actually in the Bill of Rights, and it's a constitutional amendment that can be fleshed out with statutory protection. So I guess that's the best way to describe it.
Yeah. So my thing is this: if it is a federal law, and this is my understanding, the states really can't just alter it to the way that suits them, can they?
No, the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, not the state constitution. The state constitutions are supreme in the states, provided they follow the dictates of the United States Constitution. Every single law that is made must be conformed to and further the United States Constitution. That's every law. I don't care if it's a dog leash law or a gun control law. It's got to be in conformance with the Constitution of the United States. Nothing is superior to the Constitution when it comes to law. Nothing.
And see, the reason why I asked that question is because, you know, I remember this lady, she was driving through Pennsylvania. She got stopped by the cops, and they discovered a gun in her car. And she was carrying a gun because she was driving with her, I think she had two sons in her car. And, you know, the state where she comes from, it was legal. But when she drove into Pennsylvania, it was illegal. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is supposed to be a federal law. If it's legal in the state where she comes from, it should be legal in no matter what state she drives through. You know,
there's a little bit of a caveat there. And even I hate to admit this, and that's even what I'm about to say is subject to interpretation. You got to remember, the Constitution is common law. It's not statute law. I mean, you got to make the distinction.
Yeah.
All decisions the Supreme Court makes are common law decisions derived from the interpretations of the Constitution, and then they apply it to the statutory law enacted either by the federal government or the states. So states have their own particular methods on transportation of firearms, storage of firearms, many of which are probably unconstitutional, but until they are declared to be so, they will stand extant as law. So it is incumbent upon anyone who is transporting firearms from one jurisdiction to the other to be familiar with those requirements in those states they're going to be traveling to. Because believe me, you come from a state like mine where there are almost no restrictions on it, and you go to a state like Illinois where they got or New York or California where they got 1,000,001, you'll find yourself having to pay a whole bunch of legal fees for something you shouldn't have to in the first place. See, this is why they want to pack the Supreme Court. Just add this fool, Marino Jones, whatever the hell his name is, his congressman. If we stand the way of our gun control, we'll pack the court. We'll get a court that'll do what we want. He actually said that. Did you see this fool?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
I forget what state he's from, but he was a pure Marxist demagogue, man. He sounded like Vladimir Lenin or something.
Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing.
Get the result we want.
Here's the thing. Yeah. States don't have to do jack the federal government tells you to do. If you see, this ain't like your daddy. Your daddy told you what not to do something. You didn't, and you went and done it. He whooped your butt. The federal government ain't going to do nothing to the states. What can they do? Other than hold some money. But here's the point on that. If they withhold the money that you gave them, then withhold the money that you've been giving them. That way, they can't withhold it from you. Simple.
Yeah.
It's going to be that anyway. It's going to be a drawdown.
Yep.
You got states that we call red and states that's blue. It's going to be a drawdown, which is one step away from all-out fighting.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Well, here's one thing the federal government did do in creating a gun control law that I completely agree with. It may be the only federal gun control legislation I have ever completely agreed with. It is the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Firearms Act, and the Democrats are hot to trot to get rid of it. They're saying they tell lies like you can't sue the gun industry. It's a lie. You have the exact same right of lawsuit against the gun industry if they make a defective product, if they make one that is inherently unsafe, if they make one that blows up in your face because it was defectively manufactured. You retain every right you could have to sue them. But what you cannot sue them for, and which was great when they passed it, you cannot hold a gun manufacturer responsible for the criminal actions of a third party when that gun was lawfully sold in accordance with federal law and state law. You are not allowed to sue a gun maker. See, this is the way they want to backdoor bankrupt the gun industry so nobody can sell guns anymore except to the government.
Yeah, yeah.
And they passed that law in order to do it, and they got, and these lying Democrats, they mean, they're just, oh, a gun has more rights than my vagina or some crazy nonsense like that. I mean, they're actually saying that now because you can't sue a gun manufacturer when a gun is lawfully transferred. Say the gun lawfully, some burglar breaks and somebody steals the gun that they had safely locked up in a safe because he broke the safe open. He takes that gun, commits a crime, shoots a schoolyard, whatever he does. Then you go sue the manufacturer of the gun for his actions and crime because he shouldn't have been manufacturing a deadly weapon. This is crazy. But this is the way these people reason, or rather don't reason, and that's what we're stuck with now. Liars and demagogues.
Yeah, and they're always blaming the NRA every time we have a school shooting. It's the NRA. It's the NRA. The NRA didn't say, hey, buy a gun so you can shoot people. You know, I mean,
Well, you know, even on that school shooting.
The rhetoric we're hearing about this issue is literally almost puerile, imbecilic, facile, fact vacuous, just nonsensical, made up, simple-minded. And, you know, what would irritate me, and I expect this from Democrats. I expect it from them. But these assistant Democrats who are willing to go along with them are beyond the pale. There should be only one thing I think that has any merit for discussion, or maybe two. I'm not for red flag laws at really, but I at least I'm willing to entertain a discussion about it. And if you're going to say that 18-year-olds are too young because their frontal lobes are not well-developed enough to maturely handle a firearm, if you're going to say that and you say it's too grave a thing to be left to 18-year-olds, then I say to you it is too grave a thing to allow them to vote because voting is potentially more dangerous if you elect the wrong people because you're immature than is having a firearm.
So
if you're going to get rid of, you're going to raise the age to buy a so-called assault weapon, again, a nonsensical term, to 21, then I say raise the voting age to 21. Then maybe I'll consider that one.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was 19 years old, Vince, I was an M48A3 main battle tank commander. I had a 90-millimeter cannon at my disposal. I sat in a cupola behind a 50-caliber machine gun. And I had a 7.62 coaxial machine gun mounted right next to the main gun. I had two submachine guns in the turret, a whole bunch of hand grenades, and I was expected to perform as capably and maturely at 19 as was my 35-year-old platoon sergeant, who was also a tank commander. They didn't make any differentiation by my age. They told me, you're expected to perform the duties of a tank commander at 19. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, I'm getting so sick of this nonsense. I can't stand. This is why they want to keep children on their parents' health care plan until they're 26. They want to treat them like children.
Yep. Man, I tell you. Yeah. Bianchi, were you about to say something?
Yeah, I was eating too.
Oh.
No. That kid, that guy that was headed to the school, he had a confrontation with some men coming out of the funeral home. Started shooting at them.
Yeah.
Well, what else they was carrying?
For 12 minutes.
What else if they was carrying and started shooting back at him and killing him? Well, everything else beyond that would never have happened.
Yeah.
What else the teachers was carrying? Well, a lot of that stuff would not have happened.
Yeah.
Why come you got 175 school districts in Texas that allow teachers to carry guns? But that one should have, too. So it's a whole lot of mess to that.
Yeah.
A whole lot of mess to it.
Hey, y'all want to hear a story with a happy ending?
I think I know where you're going.
With a happy ending. I think you do, too, but I always want to give you the facts of this in case, you know. There was, let's see where this comes from. This came from, West Virginia Chronicle. An alleged attacker with an AR-15 was shot dead in Charleston, West Virginia, Wednesday night, and this is on 27th of May, by a woman who was carrying a pistol for self-defense. Dennis Butler, a black man, I noticed by his picture, stone black man with a beard, big-looking guy, big burly-looking guy, was armed with an AR-15 and allegedly shot at dozens of people attending a graduation party. Police indicate a woman pulled a pistol and shot Butler, killing him. Charleston Police Detective Boston Police Department Chief of Detectives Tony Hazlett said, instead of running from the threat, she engaged with the threat and saved several lives last night. Butler was 37 years old, the Washington Post noted. The woman who shot him dead waited afterward for police and was cooperative when they arrived. None of the graduation party attendees were harmed. Now, of course, the gun grab and left tells you scenarios like that can never happen because the AR-15 is a death ray, and anyone who comes within imminent range of that deadly death ray killing machine is doomed to death instantaneously because it is an invincible object like Thor's hammer.
Yeah.
But this woman disregarded all that and just decided to shoot this guy dead right then, right there.
Black woman at that.
I just thought
black
I'd give
woman.
This story with a happy ending.
Yeah, black woman at that.
Yeah.
So, you know,
You got some blacks that do the right thing. You got a whole lot of them that ain't doing nothing right. Look at that shootout down at Xavier College. Hell, Secretary of Health Bennett said if you abort every black baby, you would reduce crime. I mean, it sounds hard, but at least 4,628 that was black that shot other black. Hell, you got had a black police officer shot in the head in Chicago. These people have got some savage mentalities that's going around doing this crap.
But you got to remember one thing.
The Chicago police said that they've identified, according to the studies, there's about maybe 1,400 to 1,500 people who are responsible for most of the violent crime in Chicago. Now, can you believe that? They said, I'm talking about the serious violent crime. They think it's about 1,500 individuals. And most of them
were citizens. Well, it was more than that because Ken Fox subverted 29,000 felon cases. 29,000 felon cases. How the hell you get to that accumulation in the beginning?
That is
we know what she's doing. But when the figure I gave you, though, is the ones that are doing, like, homicide and rape. You know, they're actually killing people, not just doing things like burglaries or car or automobile thefts. They're talking about the ones that do the most serious, the most violent crimes. They think it's an active core of about 1,400 to 1,500 individuals.
Well, automobile theft is dangerous too when you carjack it.
But I was speaking about unoccupied automobiles, the ones that are
my nephew's niece was killed here a couple of Mondays ago, and her husband went to the job there in St. Peter's, Missouri, where she was working, and killed her.
Wow.
Police came. He was shooting at the police, St. Louis. That was St. Peter's police.
Then look at the list of
he'd get in his car and start running, get away from there, and commit suicide.
Mm.
Yeah, you got to look at the list of firearms that Chicago police seize most often from criminals. Out of the top 20 type of firearms they seize most often at either crime scenes or off criminal offenders, out of the top 20, now I'm not talking about top 10, the top 20, there isn't one so-called assault weapon amongst them. Not one. They're all handguns.
Yeah.
Well, more people are killed in this country by hands, feet, clubs, and knives than a semi-automatic rifle.
Yeah.
That's all long rifles, all long guns.
Including AR-15.
Hunting rifles, all of them, including so-called assault weapons.
But you ain't gonna hear them talk about let's get rid of people's fists, let's amputate people's fists, let's cut their legs off. You know, those could be weapons.
It's crazy.
Too,
These people are crazy, and they lie and they lie and they lie. And until they are at least honest, I don't even see any point in sitting down and having a discussion with them.
No, it's not. There's no need to be arguing with these people over statistics. We stick to the guns, and that's the Constitution. Can't take it. Then the states have constitutions, too, which pretty much mimic the U.S. Constitution. States should say we are not enforcing any unconstitutional laws. You might as well shove them up your boots.
Sanctuary states, Bianchi, or harbors?
Don't enforce it. Sheriffs should say the same thing.
That's what we need, man.
And as I said before, and then another thing is the natural resources that lies within a state. Federal government don't have no damn business telling them states that they cannot explore and drill and extract. Why did you let them make you not do what you should be doing for the best of your residents in your state?
That's true, though.
Well, actually, old Senile Joe, he is not extending or leases on so-called federal lands, of which there should be no federal lands except for, federal
forts,
institutions, military bases, and the like that. They got too much of federal, so-called federal property located within states that's off limits to the states. See, that's where he's able to pull that crap.
And where federal
back.
And where the federal government owns stuff like you just mentioned, hike the damn rent up on them.
Make them pay rent. Hey, yeah,
hike the rent up on them.
Yeah, take
them. And if they don't pay it, wait a minute. If they don't pay the rent, foreclose on it and go to court and take it from them.
Well, unfortunately, the Constitution does give the federal government a loophole, and it's Article 1, Section 8, and it does give Congress the right to establish things for the armed forces like blockhouses and forts and things like that. So
that's what I mentioned. They do have blockhouses and forts, but any of this other stuff that they got, hike the rent up on them. That's what you do.
But it does say, it says Congress shall exercise like authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislator of the state in which the same shall be for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings. So, I think it's a one-time purchase the federal government makes to the state, and then they got authority over that as long as it fits that definition.
Well, the state legislature can change that. It's like they lie and change. The state legislature can change it. Say, look, we got high inflation. You're going to have to pay more. Let's just do it.
They need
do
adjust
it all
for
around the country.
I think they need to adjust for inflation. I mean, when Georgia gave up property for Fort Benning, I mean, the value of that real estate has gone up a whole lot since.
Damn right.
Yeah.
Hell,
but
when Weiss buys something
from... give Congress the right to make the purchase, and I don't think it says they got to pay a lease on it. But after all, that property is worth a lot more than when it was purchased, and I think they owe the state of Georgia or wherever, the Fort Hood or whatever, they ought to give a rebate back to the states because it's a lot more
all
valuable.
All them states. You
yeah.
see black folks crying about we were gypped like out there in California, and they made some so do the same thing to the federal government. You got to play these people just the way they play you.
I agree with that.
And one up on it.
We got to do them like they're doing us, man, because, I mean, they just run a roughshod over the Constitution, act like it don't exist, it don't say what it says, or it's a living, breathing document, and it's got to adjust to the times. There's some crap
Americans
like that.
That's capable and eligible should be wearing a weapon on their hip. Put that weapon on your hip, especially you women, and wear it like you would on an apparel piece of clothes.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that, you know.
We got to remember now, we got people living today, and probably most of them been to college. They are completely uneducated with the 18th century and what meanings and terms and phrases that were used in the 18th century actually meant at the time they were written. And they try to transpose them because some of the phrasing of the 18th century sounds somewhat awkward to our ears, not to mine. I think it's amazingly eloquent, and I love it to read it the way it's written. But since we got people who are college educated and college indoctrinated, I would suggest for purposes of clarification to these people, a slight reordering of the way the Second Amendment is written. And only for purposes of clarification, I would say we need to read to these constitutionally illiterate people the Second Amendment like this. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed because a well-regulated militia is necessary to the security of a free state. And then we explain to them, well-regulated in 18th century terms did not mean every cockamamie federal gun control law you come up with to infringe upon the right to keep and bear arms. In 18th century usage, well-regulated meant well-organized, trained, disciplined, and in good working order. That's what well-regulated meant.
You got to get a dictionary from that time period and see what those words meant.
Exactly. And if you do, you will see what well-regulated meant. It didn't mean federal gun control laws, which didn't even exist. The first one came about in 1934. We went through all that span of history in the United States with no federal gun control laws, the National Firearms Act 1934, because gangsters were shooting each other to death with Tommy guns.
And then another thing, too. These laws and these restrictions making it hard. You are hurting poor people. Poor and disadvantaged people who are living on the margins. They can't get weapons in order to protect themselves, and they usually the one that's needed the most because of the areas that they live in.
That's true.
You deny poor the right, the ability to get weapons to protect themselves.
Exactly.
And that's wrong.
I know
this better than most people. We all know, I said to this Vince earlier, the first state gun control laws in the Maine were enacted against newly freed black men, black people, so they wouldn't have the right to keep and bear arms. They were Jim Crow, anti-black people having guns laws, and they were aimed at black people by definition.
That's one of the reasons why the NRA came about. That's why the NRA was formed, was so that newly freed slaves can arm themselves. You know, nobody says anything about that, though.
Hell, you got Freeman Bosley Jr.
I think the main reason was to ensure that people knew how to shoot, because they saw a lot of deficiencies after the war between the states. You know, people were improperly, the army didn't train recruits properly, and they were finding muskets that were triple loaded, and they didn't have the percussion cap put on them, and they were trying to shoot, and the guns didn't go off, and all kind of crazy stuff.
Is this the same people that supposed to build America?
And so the NRA started in order to try to correct that to some degree, but it also branched out into arguing against a lot of these discriminatory gun control laws too.
Them the same people that built America, like some like always say. We had all the person in the city of St. Louis. that wanted to suspend the U.S. Constitution just for his area. So many shootings going on there.
Wow.
Freeman Bosley Jr.
Yeah. Wow. Man. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I got two more callers. Let me see if I can get these two callers on here. Let me get these guys on here. Good.
People
crazy.
Run the country.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
If you want to go back to Africa, I submit and I'm fucking might pay for your damn boat ticket back. Get the fuck out of here and go back to Africa. But if you don't, shut up, and you need to understand how this is starting to work. You don't get it. You just don't get it, man. You're not the minority. You are no longer the fucking minority in this country.
Caller, welcome to the show. Who am I talking to?
Shut up. My name is Hillbilly Johnson, and I've been around a very long time. A long time. I've seen a lot of stuff, and I made a lot of moonshine. In fact, I got a wheelbarrow full of some sketchy-ass moonshine right there that I'm getting ready to sell right now as soon as that guy with the pickup truck. And he's going to bring me his dog.
Our revenue is chasing him.
Oh, boy. Wow. Okay.
I don't know why the revenue is coming after this man or what.
Oh, my goodness.
You might have to use the auto shotgun and get out them, get out.
Anybody with the name the third is somebody that's something important. So Thurston Howe the third is somebody important. Yeah,
Hello, Colin. Welcome to the show. Hey, Iredale.
Yeah, man. I'm just listening to you for a little bit to kind of get away from things. You know where I'm coming from. I just want to say hi for all the folks out there in Mayo Land. And
all right, now.
I enjoyed the show, a little bit of card and everything. That's all I really got to say because you know what I'm dealing with.
Okay, yeah, I got you. I got you. Okay, well, you know, and wow. It being with the administration that we have today, I listen to people talking and whatever and stuff like that, and I really do think even more so than in past years that our government is really out of touch with the people in the country. They really are. I don't think our government really cares about us. And that's why they come up and they make these outlandish claims about, gun control and stuff like that. You know, but I'm starting to believe that it might be irresponsible, especially if you're a family man, that you don't have some type of weapon in your house to defend your family. I'm really starting to believe that it's irresponsible that every law-abiding, clear-headed American citizen should own a gun, And I know some people don't like guns. I know some people despise them. Hey, that's fine. If you don't want one, that's fine and everything. But being from what I'm seeing, one of the main reasons why we have the right to bear arms is because the government might get out of hand, and we need to protect ourselves from the government, from the tyranny of the government, and that's why we have this law. And of course, you need to defend yourself against anyone trying to break into your house or something like that, and whatever. But our government wants to disarm us because they want it to be easier to expand their tyranny over us. And that's the main reason. That's why they don't talk about, oh, let's get rid of knives, let's get rid of ropes, let's talk about baseball bats. They only want the guns, and they basically want you to be defenseless so that when they bring about their brand of government and everything, you won't have any way to protect yourself. And that's basically how it is. Anybody want to say anything to that? Oh, I didn't
you
cut
got,
off everybody.
You got Kennesaw, Georgia, Nelson, Georgia, Nusia, Colorado, Gun Barrel City, Texas, and Virgin, Utah. Those five cities have it where homeowners have to have a gun.
Yeah, why
are you
I'm familiar with the one
gun
outside of Atlanta. Yeah.
Yep, that's true. You know, I like to say this, man, that all I know is that when you have an enemy, you seek to disarm him, and when you have an ally, you seek to arm them. I mean, isn't that what's going on in Ukraine right now? So I guess Joe Biden thinks we're his enemy. And if he's really serious about gun control laws and all that, his son lied on a federal form, 4473 background check form, when he said he wasn't under treatment or for drug usage. At the very time he was under treatment for drug abuse, he said he wasn't on a federal form. And then on top of that, he discarded a firearm by tossing it in a trash can, and the Secret Service covered it up for his ass when he was on one of his drug-induced stupors.
Yeah.
Now, if he was serious about gun control law, he would tell his attorney general to investigate his son's abuse of a federal gun law, because they tell us all these damn laws they enact are so important. That would signal to the country that at least he was serious about what he was saying by offering up his crack-addled son as a sacrificial lamb. But you and I both know rules for thee, but not for me. And finally, you know, and finally, when it comes to all the stuff about gun laws, all them arrests I'm making all the time, whenever they come down a plea bargain, I got a felon in possession of a gun. Frequently, as often as not, the state's attorney would plea bargain away the gun charge, convicted felon in possession of a gun, for exchange to get the plea bargain. They always tossed the gun charge when it came to get the plea bargain.
Wow.
But what good are these laws anyway?
Yeah.
They're not enforced. The only ones they really aim to enforce them against is the law-abiding, which aren't a threat.
Yeah, exactly. See? and wow, I tell you.
Well, the thing to get out of this conversation is that this. More Americans need to start wearing that gun on their side.
Yeah.
If you got a city that has some crazy ordinance about open carrying, they make what's called a skirt. Some of them call it a sock. This skirt will fasten to your belt and hang over that gun where you can't see it. But people know something's under there. It's like when they raise a woman's skirt to look at her damn booty. They ain't going to be raising that skirt.
Oh, no.
Women need to have more gun clubs and activities surrounded around guns, just like bowling at night out, target practice, and league practice. It could get off into a good thing. But more importantly, wear that weapon. Secondly, thirdly, states need to have their state conventions and tell the federal government we are not enforcing no federal anti-Second Amendment laws. You're not going to do it.
Yeah.
Federal marshals ain't going to walk up into a municipality without contacting a municipality. Now you really can. They can't do it. Well, if that's the case, why come they didn't go down and help the people during Katrina without asking the governor?
That's true.
Well, you saw what happened in Katrina, Pionga. They had to enact the federal law to prevent local authorities from arbitrarily rounding up people's firearms during the Katrina. We had a law, another one of the few federal laws I agree with, to disallow local authorities from taking their citizens' guns away, because at the very time they need them the most, when law, order, and civilization itself breaks down.
Well, you know, that's when citizens should say hell no, too. See, the ultimate hell in the no is that what the citizen says, because they're at the basis of all this. Nothing exists without them. Citizens should put their foot down and say, hell no. This is some serious matters here. They're already giving your kids sexual explicit material and saying that they can have it, even though after you don't told the library to take it out, this mental misfit decides now the kids need it.
See?
Anyway, you're about out of town, man.
Man, you you guys coming on here, man, I'm telling you, it's like a breath of fresh air. Excuse me.
Hey, brother, you go forth, spread forth the word, okay? And
yes,
by the way,
sir.
I need somewhere I can mail you a copy of 2,000 Mules, man. I got one for you in case you want it.
Oh, I've seen it. My wife and I already got it.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind.
Yeah,
you all right?
We seen it about a month ago. That is one of the best documentaries I think I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, and a lot more information has come out subsequent to that. You might want to do a show about it, because not only the 2,000 Mules have packed with information, a lot more has come out since then.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I'm a look for that, because that movie gave me the hard evidence I was looking for about the 2020 election. It gave me the hard evidence. I was like, okay, now I'm seeing stuff here, and I'm like, oh my goodness. You know,
yeah.
At first, I really couldn't explain it to you.
It's like, look, I've seen people investigated, indicted, and convicted, starting with an anonymous tip, okay,
yeah.
Coming over the phone. An anonymous tip. And
yeah.
People get, it winds up to their arrest and conviction. Now,
yeah.
This is much more than an anonymous tip. It's packed with evidence and information. But see, at this point, what the movie makers have gone pretty much as far as they can go. They don't have subpoena power. They don't have investigative authority. They can't serve search warrants. Now, what needs to be done is the investigative agencies need to uncover those device signatures, who's in possession of them, haul their asses in, start interviewing and interrogating them, getting search warrants and subpoenas, and getting people for investigative committees to prepare, if necessary, for grand jury indictments. But the filmmaker can't do it. They say, well, he didn't prove nothing. He can't. Without
yeah.
the aid of investigative authorities that have the authority to do those things.
Exactly.
All
that's
he can do is present
right
the evidence he's able to get on his own, and it's far better than an anonymous telephone tip, which often serves the same purpose.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I appreciate you guys coming on and doing your thing. It's always good to have you on. Oh, I took off last week. I just said, you know what? And plus my wife, she had been going through some things this year. I'm not part of it. I'll let you know that. But she's been having a rough time and whatever. And she had to work on Memorial Day. And I was like, oh, gosh, you know. So I just wanted to spend time with her. And, you know, because she's had a rough year. She's really had a rough year. You know, so, but she's
among
she's
your
fine.
First obligations, Vince, and I'm glad to
yeah.
see you're a good husband.
Yeah, yeah, so.
Yeah, Vince, you're a good husband.
But I will let you all know this, though. In the month of July, I'm going to take a rest. After June the 25th, you won't hear from me again until the first weekend of August. So just want to
let you know
that ahead of a time.
I usually have my fruit bat wings rejuvenated during the month of July. So.
Yeah, man. You got to watch out for fruit bats. They're pretty big. I mean, they big.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Y'all ever seen a moose bat?
A moose bat? No, I never seen a moose bat.
Look that up. Like one that doesn't flop down on your head.
Oh, you might be talking about the hammerhead bat in Africa?
Well, yeah, but they got a moose bat, too.
Man, I'm looking. If it looks anything like that hammerhead bat from Africa, that is the scariest looking thing I think I've ever seen in my life. That is one scary looking critter.
You mean it's scarier than a vampire bat? They're pretty scary.
Oh gosh, this makes a vampire bat look like a teddy bear.
No, really?
And they do have fruit bats in Africa too. They're in Kumasi, they got a tree that's got nothing but them in it.
Yeah.
But at least mainly vegetarians and fruit eaters. So.
Yeah.
I'll see you guys later.
Okay. All right.
All right, Brian. I'll check it in from you.
Well, you all, that's the end of the program. I'm in archives right now. Next week, God willing, I should have another edition of Black by Color only. And, and once again, like I said, whenever I say anything on the show, don't just take my word for it. You know, just look it up or research it or whatever, everything like that. But next week should have another edition. This is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. Y'all have a good week.